Psalm 27. We'll read verses 7 through to 10. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me also, and answer me. When you said, Seek my face, my heart said to you, Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Let's again ask God's help as we study his truth. O Lord, our God and our Father, once more we approach you. Now we plead particularly, our great and gracious Lord, you would send your Spirit down to write your word upon our hearts. O Lord, open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your law. Teach us in your ways, O God, and guide us in your truth. May not one of us be spiritually blind to what we see in the word of God this day, but may we be tender and receive it, O Lord, to the blessing of our souls in accordance with our present condition and need. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more in this psalm, we find language that would fit the mouth of David, who wrote it, of the Church of Christ, as we follow in his footsteps in terms of our experience, and in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who might have pleaded these things with propriety. In this psalm, David begins by seeking to strengthen his faith. He stirs up his heart by recollecting who God is and how God has blessed him. In the second part of this psalm, he enters into God's presence, and that's a portion that we've read. And then towards the end of it, in the last couple of verses, David testifies of his confidence in God. We're going to look at just one verse of David's prayer coming before God, verse 8 of Psalm 27. When you said, Seek my face, my heart said to you, Your face, Lord, I will seek. Calvin says that we have here a mutual conversation between God and the prophet. The language is not particularly easy, but competent commentators suggest that certainly God has in some way extended to David this offer, Seek my face. And we have also then David's response, My heart said to you, Your face, Lord, I will seek. Now, that's a very suggestive phrase, seeking God's face. That's the primary concern of this conversation between God and the prophet. And each one of us knows something of what it is to seek someone's face. You children, you know what it is, I hope, to seek Dad's face or Mum's face. You know the circumstances in which you do that. Perhaps you wake up at night, you've had a nightmare, and you know Dad and Mum may be sleeping in just the next room, but it's not just enough, is it, to know that they're there somewhere. What do you want? You want to see them. You want them right there. You start yelling, Dad, Mum, come help me, please, it's dark in here. Turn a light on. You're seeking their face. You want to be in their presence. You want to know what it is to have, as it were, eye contact with them. You're in trouble. You're in distress. Someone's being cruel to you. Or you're full of joy. Something's very exciting. You want to show them. You want them to see it. You want to tell them the trouble. Again, it's no use knowing that they would be sympathetic were you to go to them. You want to get in front of Dad and Mum and show them or tell them. And know that they are looking upon you, that you're in their presence, that they are showing you their favour. It's in some senses no different to what God extends to David, or what David pursues with God. seeking God's face. A desire to actually come into His presence and have intimate dealing with Him. This phrase, or the idea behind it, is used in at least three different cases in Scripture. It is used in the condition of a repentant sinner. You might want to turn to the passages that I'm going to quote so you can see it for yourself, although I will read them so you don't have to. Beginning in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7 and verse 14. The Lord's second appearance to Solomon. He speaks concerning the sin of the nation and their return to Him. If my people who are called by my name, when they are suffering on account of sin, that is, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Similarly, in Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15, the Lord again addressing a people who have sinned. I will return again to my place, that is, I will withdraw myself from them, till they acknowledge their offence, then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. So the first group of people that the Bible describes as seeking the face of God are repentant sinners. Those who have strayed from God, perhaps have been afflicted by God, and are now being brought to turn back to God. Another group are the sincere supplicants, those who are earnestly seeking something of God. We find them, for example, in Psalm 4 and verse 6. There are many who say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance, lift up the light of your face upon us." Or Psalm 67 and verse 1. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So those who seek God's face then are repentant sinners. Or sincere supplicants, men and women with a burning desire to obtain a favour from God. And the third group, who are evidently seekers of God's face, are true worshippers. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11. David's song of thanksgiving, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples." Verse 11, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face forevermore." The man who is seeking to worship God, to glorify Him, is a man who seeks God's face. Or again in Psalm 24 and verse 6. Speaking of those who ascend into the hill of the Lord, "This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face." Or again and finally, Psalm 105 and verse 4. In a psalm giving thanks to the Lord and calling upon His name, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore." Right there in the opening of a psalm expressive of true praise and adoration of God. Seeking God's face then is to pursue His presence as repentant sinners, as sincere supplicants, as true worshippers. We have the very opposite just there in Psalm 27 and verse 9. "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not leave me or forsake me." To be forsaken, to be deserted, to be cast out is the very opposite of obtaining that which the soul desires. In this case, the face of God shining upon us in favour. This then is the attitude, desire and activity of the man who is carried out in his soul to God especially in times of trouble, as is the case in Psalm 27. Pursuing God's presence, putting all else aside, delighting ourselves in Him, that we may obtain all hopes, comforts and joys in God and God alone. Now we turn back more particularly to verse 8. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Here then is the declaration of God. Seek my face. The language demonstrates that the initiative is with God. It is the Lord who begins this conversation with David. David, you seek my face. God entreats David. David's action, and in truth, any action that we might give, can only be a response to God now declaring his willingness to be known to us. The Lord begins this conversation and calls to us, "Seek my face." It's the language of a merciful invitation. God is descending. He is condescending. He is coming down to our level and bringing us into his presence. The living and true God is now dealing with sinners, with those who have turned against him, with those who have been described in 2 Chronicles 7 or in Hosea chapter 5, who have not done God's will, who have yet to acknowledge their offence, who are now being afflicted by the absence of God. And God himself decides to come to them and to call to them, "Seek my face." This is not man's solution to man's problem. This is God's offer to a needy people. "Seek my face." It is an expression of mercy as God invites us to come to him despite our unworthiness and makes a way to overcome that unworthiness that we might come into his presence. In Isaiah 45, verse 19 and following, the Lord declares his mercy in this way: "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, 'Seek me in vain.'" God's not saying this is a joke. This is a genuine and merciful reaching out of God to men in their need. "I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." This is a sincere offer. And how does the Lord go on to say, to speak to his people? "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other." When God in his mercy says, "Seek my face," this is what he intends us to do. To turn to him, to look to him, in order that we might be saved. And it is indeed a general invitation. "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth," is in keeping with what God says in verse 8 of Psalm 27. "Seek my face." That is a general, a universal invitation. Not in vain, but for salvation. It's the language of merciful invitation. It is further than the language of sovereign command. There is, when God speaks in power, a demonstration of electing grace in such language. When God says, "Seek my face," And when the Spirit of God brings that word to bear in power upon the heart of a man, it both demands and draws out a response from God's chosen people. It accomplishes what God intends it to accomplish. When God says, "Seek my face," and the Spirit of God gives a man ears to hear and softens his heart to receive that sovereign command, the man does seek the face of God. The Lord speaks here with power, and that power brings out of the heart of his people the response, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Whether it be for the first time, drawing a man to Christ, or over and over entreating us to return to our God that we might receive favour with him. This is God's kind and powerful declaration. Seek my face. And the implication is that you shall not seek in vain. God never sends anybody upon a fool's errand. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, he assures us that the one who seeks him with the whole heart shall most assuredly find him. The promise of finding is bound up in God's sovereign command, "Seek my face." It is, furthermore, language of glorious opportunity. God beckons us into his presence in order to obtain favour at his hand. Think of Psalm 10. And verses 16 to 18. "The Lord is King forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his hand. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more." It is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we are bidden come. The God who is able to put down unrighteousness and to raise up and establish true godliness. This is God now opening to his people the storehouses of grace, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, the Lord God of heaven and earth, the Saviour of sinners, says to us, "Seek my face." Come, here is true riches. Here streams of bounty flow, that is, streams of undeserved goodness pouring out upon his people. Come to me, and in Christ Jesus you shall obtain all things that you could desire. What greater offer could there be than that God should say to us, "Come and receive favour at my hands"? Well, there is something greater, because this is the language of true and sweet blessing also. Because God not only gives us his favour, but he gives us himself. "Seek my face. Know me. Come into my presence." We trace up, as Watson says, the streams to the fountain. It is not only what God does that we enjoy when we seek God's face, but it is who God is in himself that we receive, knowing him, walking in communion with him, he being our God, us being his people, all the glorious covenant realities of the compact that God makes in and with Jesus Christ, giving us himself and lifting up then the light of his countenance upon us. Again, in terms of the worship that we saw in 1 Chronicles 16, "Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones." This is God now giving himself to his people and calling them to enter his presence and to obtain him in himself and with him and in him to obtain all things. My friends, in this language of merciful invitation, of sovereign command, glorious opportunity, and true and sweet blessing. We hear God Himself declaring His willingness to be known and His readiness to bless. He stands, as it were, before us this morning with open arms, and He tells us, "Seek my face." He tells us here in this verse. He calls us throughout the Word of God in its entirety, "Seek my face." He gives us one day in every seven as a particular opportunity to seek His face. By His providential dealings with us, both merciful and afflictive, the voice of God speaks to us not at once but twice, as it is spoken in Job. God calling us to Himself, God speaking to us and entreating us, as it were, "Seek my face." God beckons us to Himself in this language. It is an overture of grace. It is an offer of goodness. And it is a declaration that ought to sweep away all felt obstacles to our approaching. How often do you feel like going into the presence of a holy God? Perhaps we should say, how often do you not feel like going into the presence of a holy God? You know what a wretched sinner you are. You know how cold your heart has been, how dark your mind has been. There may be the memory of sins committed, words spoken, things seen, things heard, places gone. Lord, how can I come to You? How can I enter the presence of God? This is a conversation that God starts. "Seek my face." It overcomes every reason we may feel not to come. The Lord bids us draw near to Him, not disregarding our sins, but as the sovereign, merciful God calling us to come to Him in order to receive forgiveness of sins. The invitation of God is all the warrant that anyone here needs to come. Nothing that you can do or say or feel undoes God's declaration, "Seek my face." You may remember how in Esther chapter 7, she goes into the presence of the king, all trembling whether or not he will receive her. And he holds out the golden scepter, that great sign that he is ready to receive the supplicant. This is God's golden scepter, extended already to the man or woman, boy or girl who had come to him. It is the declaration of His favour, "Seek my face." And we ought to respond as the blind man of Mark chapter 10, calling out to Jesus to have mercy upon him. And when Jesus spoke in return, the people around him said, "Come, be of good cheer. He's calling you. Cheer up. Rejoice. God is calling you." And that's just what we see then, secondly, in the response of the wise and humble man. When God said, "Seek my face," "My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek." The Spirit of God works an echo in the heart to the voice and declaration of God. God's voice says, "Seek my face." And the Spirit-wrought echo of the godly man's heart is, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Here then is an earnest response. "With my heart I said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek." You remember the hypocrisy of Isaiah chapter 29. "This people draw near to me with their lips, but their mouth is far from me." This man is not merely speaking a desire, with his heart wandering after a thousand other things. This is a man who from the core of his being is returning to God in terms of God's offer to him. "Lord, you said, seek my face. And from the center of my manhood, Lord, I will seek your face. I will come to you in the very terms that you have bidden me come." with the entirety of his being, from the core of his humanity. This is a man who grips God's offer, God's declaration. It is an immediate response. God says, "Seek my face. This man's heart, your face, Lord, I will seek." There's no complaint. There's no question. There's no excuse made. Not like those of whom the Lord speaks. When the invitation to the great wedding feast was declared to them, "I just bought some cows. Just bought some yoke of oxen. I have to go and test them out. Can't come. Go to the next man. I've just got married. I'm very busy. I can't come either." A third man. "Oh, I've just got a field, a new field. I've got to go and look over my property. I can't come." And they never did. Delays, excuses, complaints. My friends, to delay when God calls is to deny God's call. When the Lord says to us, "Seek my face," our heart ought to say to God, "Your face I will seek," without delaying, responding immediately to the call of God, whether it be God in mercy saying, "Come, sinner, and be forgiven," the heart ought to say, "Yes, Lord, here is mercy, and I come." Or whether it be God speaking to us in time of need, "Seek my face, and I will supply you," our heart ought to respond, "Yes, Lord, now, without delay, without looking anywhere else, I will come." It is an obedient response. God says, "Seek my face." And the psalmist does just exactly what God does, and even speaks his own words back to him. "Your face, Lord, I will seek." It is obedience both precise and full. It is everything that God calls him to do, and nothing less than God calls him to do. This is not a man who's going to do anything by halves. His whole heart is running out now after the God of his salvation. And in precisely the way he was bidden, to the most that he can do it, this man desires to see the face of the Almighty. He is a resolved man. "I will seek your face." Versus all that might oppose or hinder him. He will seek the face of God. He believes that when God says, "Seek my face, we shall not seek in vain." But he may also have to reckon with those things that would keep us from coming. From the distractions and attractions that lie around us. From the doubts that may at times seek to persuade us that we should not come. From the laziness that says, "I'll come when I'm ready." From the lack of concern that says, "I can come whenever I want to. I don't have to come because God has said so now." No, this man who is wise, this man who is humble, he is resolved. "I will come." It is an act of his will. It is an act of his conscience. It is an act of his desire. God has given him an appetite for God. And he goes out after God, resolved to lay hold upon him. And having been bidden to seek the face of the Almighty, to come into his presence. And it is a personal response. The invitation is general. "Seek my face." The response is personal and particular. "Your face, Lord, I will seek." I myself will respond to the offer and entreaty of God. I won't rely on friends to do it for me. I won't rely upon the offices of a parent to bring me into the presence of the Most High. I won't go to a priest in the vain hope that he can somehow approach God on my behalf. I'll not hope that the preacher can do something for me. No, my friends, if we are to seek the face of God, you and I as individuals, we need to respond personally to God's declaration. When God says to you and to you and to you, "Seek my face," then you and you and you and I, we must go to God ourselves. Not hoping or imagining that someone else can do it for us.
that someone else can enjoy a relationship with God on our behalf. But despite and because of all of the prayers that may be offered for our blessing, we ourselves need to have dealings with the Most High if we are to obtain the mercies and the blessings and the favour that God holds out to us here. This then is the response of the wise and humble man to the declaration of God: earnest, immediate, obedient, resolved, and personal. And thirdly, by implication, if this is how the wise and humble man responds to the declaration of God, how does the careless and godless man respond? How are you responding this morning? Is your heart the heart of the wise and the humble? Or are you careless and godless? You don't appreciate the merciful invitation. Why do I need mercy from God? Why does God need to stoop down to the level of someone as great and as good as I am? What has God really got to offer me? What need do I have of mercy from this or any other God? You cannot appreciate the merciful invitation of God's "seek my face." It means nothing to you. You don't feel the power of God's command. It washes over your ears. You may have heard the gospel 1,000,000 times. You may have heard God in many, many different ways, through the scriptures, in the preaching of God's word preeminently, by the experiences that you have gone through, speak to you and say in one or another fashion, "Seek my face. The time is short. The need is great. The offer is sincere." And yet you've never heard it as spoken by God with arresting power. The Thessalonians, when they received the gospel, they received it as it is in truth, the word of God and not of men. And some of you may have heard it over and over and over again, and it's only ever been to you the word of men and not of God. And you've heard and felt nothing of the divine power of God stirring your soul. You can't grasp the glorious opportunity coming to God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to receive blessing at his hand. The prospect of entering into the most holy place, to have dealings with God whereby you can obtain favour and grace and strength in time of need. That to you is an empty offer. What do I need from God? What can God really give to me? Am I not self-sufficient? In effect, can I not do everything for myself? And you've got no appetite for the true and sweet blessing of God himself. "Taste and see that the Lord is good," says the godly man. "Taste what?" says the godless man. "Seek my face," says the God who saves and blesses. "Why bother?" says the careless man. "Why do I need God? What does God want to do with me?" And the blessings of life everlasting in knowing God and being known of God, the covenant blessings of being one of God's chosen people, to you are something to be disregarded. You have no appetite, no hunger, no desire perhaps for God in himself. Is this your response this morning? As these mercies are held out, as God declares in his own words to you this morning, each and every person in this place, "Seek my face." As God holds his arms wide, as it were, and calls upon you to come and receive forgiveness of sins and all the blessings that are to be obtained in Jesus Christ, are you now careless? Can you sit there and say that this means nothing to me? That I have no regard or concern for it? In the words of the hymn that we sang, "Mercy invites to heavenly joys," and can you yet delay? And you say, "Yes, of course I can. Of course I can. God is shining in the face of Jesus Christ. And you have no desire to come to the light that you might be saved. God offers himself to you this morning as the saviour of repentant sinners, as the supplier of men and women, boys and girls in deep need, and as the God and Father of all who come to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the great and most evident cry of God's heart to seek his face is right before you in the pages of Scripture and in the realities of Christ and him crucified. Who is Christ? He is the image of the invisible God. It is in him that God, as it were, flings wide his arms and says, "Seek my face. Would I be known? See that I would be known." Here is the image of the invisible God. Here is the great revelation of the heart of the Most High. And God in Christ says, "Seek my face." Is God willing to be known? Look at Christ, and he tells you that he is. Is God ready to bless you this morning? Look at Christ dying upon the cross of Calvary. And tell me that God is not ready to bestow mercy upon the undeserving. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And perhaps you're still sitting there with no appetite, no desire, no wish, no hunger for the God of heaven and earth and the salvation and the blessing that is to be found in him. What is your heart's response now as God says and declares once more, "Seek my face"? The folly, the emptiness, the carelessness of turning back now from God's offer should be considered in the light of the fourth and final heading of this morning's sermon, God's favour to those who seek his face. Before you decide again this morning to turn away from the God who holds himself out to you in his willingness to be known and his readiness to bless, consider what God does to the repentant sinner who seeks his face. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and now verse 14. If my people who are called by then my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hosea in chapter 5. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offence. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction they will earnestly seek me. And now God speaks again through his prophet. Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Let us seek his face. Why? Because God will give life from the dead to every repentant sinner who turns from their sins and sets out after God. When the Spirit of the Lord works to make us reach out after the God who says, "Come to me that you may be saved," the Lord is pleased to give to all who come deliverance from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, and from the present and eternal consequences of sin. Where will you find life from the dead? Hosea hints at it in that prophetic way. On the third day, he will raise us up. Who was raised because of our justification? In whom does the repentant sinner find life, if not in the Christ who died for sins and rose again for our justification? You are a sinner this morning, sorrowing over your godless behaviour. Seek God's face, and you shall be saved. Consider God's response, his favour to the sincere supplicant, to the man who sets out to obtain needed blessings from God, to the repentant sinner God grants salvation, to the sincere supplicant God gives a rich supply. In Psalm 4 now, verses 6 to 8, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. When the man or woman, boy or girl asks the question, who will show us any good? And then turns to seek the face of God. The Lord says, you know what I can give to you? Gladness and joy. More than men feel when the harvest is abundant. More than the happiness of the man who has everything this world has to offer. Peace. Lying down in safety to sleep. Gladness and joy that superabounds above anything you will ever find in this world. God is pleased abundantly to bless the man who turns to him. Again in Psalm 67, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Verses 5 to 7 of that psalm, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. When a sincere supplicant seeks the face of God, God is pleased to supply that man, that woman, with their needs. What does he give them? Not the joy and gladness of the grain and the new wine, but all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, a joy and a gladness and a peace that transcends anything that you will ever find in the world besides. And what of the true worshipper? If the repentant sinner obtains salvation, if the sincere supplicant obtains a supply, the true worshipper receives sanctification. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 6. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Listen to the character of the true worshipper of God. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who is this man? This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. That is the character of the true worshipper of God. What is his calling? Psalm 105 at the beginning again in these words of praise. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. For what purpose and to what end does God accomplish these things? Verse 44, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant. I'm in Psalm 106 there. Psalm 105, verse 45. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. What's the character of the man? He is a holy man. What is the calling of that man? It is willing and cheerful and joyful obedience to God. The true worshipper who seeks the face of God is set apart to God and made increasingly holy after the image of God. The joy of those who dwell with God is the desire and delight of every true Christian. It is the longing of every redeemed soul to see more of the face of God, to come by faith and lay hold upon Him, to seek His face and have the light of His countenance lifted up upon our souls, not that we might obtain blessing in this life, but might transcend what this world has to offer and find in God and in God alone all our souls might ever desire. And it is a transforming joy, that intense desire, that delight of the saints of God is something of which Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3, where in verse 18 he says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." What does God grant to the true worshipper who seeks His face? Sanctification. Transformation from glory to glory. Transformed from into the same image, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And the desire of the true worshipper, the mercy and blessing of God reaches beyond even that temporary measure. For that joy and that transformation will be complete at the return of Jesus Christ. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's the day when those who seek the face of God no longer need to live by faith, but are granted sight. And what do they see? They see the glory of God still shining in the face of Jesus Christ. And seeing Him, they are transformed once and for all, and are made like Him. And being made like Him, they enter into His presence, where there is fullness of joy forevermore, and where the light of God's countenance shines as it never will in this world, but as it always does in the world which is to come. The King, there in His beauty, without a veil, is seen. God grants to the sinner who repents his salvation. God grants to the needy man everything that he requires. And God grants to the man who says, "Your face, Lord, I will seek," measures of joy now and fullness of joy in the world which is to come. Amen. You have said, "O Lord, once more again this morning, seek my face." May every heart here be humble, be wise, and respond, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Amen.